A welcome to the lady who is the careers lead at Suffolk County Council, Jackie Phipps. Good morning to you. How are you this fine morning?
Good morning, Adrian. Yes, getting a bit hot again already. That's been the lesson of the last few months, hasn't it? But I'm well, thank you.
Good, that's good. Yes, I think there's a lot of people at work and doing various things that have learned how to kind of cope with the heat. But anyway, exciting time in the careers and young people's world, of course, because it's GCSE plus. So GCSE and other equivalent exam results tomorrow. Is that right?
That's right, yes. So, yeah, there'll be some very nervous and excited young people and their parents waiting for tomorrow to find out the results that they've got this year.
That's right. I mean, I thought I'd better get it right, because you're talking about very nervous and expectant, but I've got a granddaughter exactly in that category. So we'll be waiting to hear tomorrow morning, I dare say. Anyway, just quickly before we go any further, if you could just tell people what your job is. I've got you down as the careers lead at Suffolk County Council, so that involves quite a wide range of stuff, but it's basically about finding ways of helping young people through this stage, is it?
Yes, I suppose, to be sort of exact, I sort of act at a bit of arm's length, because I support the schools and the colleges,
right,
and sort of other agents, other people we work with in Suffolk County Council, rather than me directly working with young people. So I'm a bit of an arm's length. So there are lots of people out there who will and can support young people at this difficult time, and hopefully before and earlier, yes, in year 11. So, but I'm a bit of arm's length at that.
Okay. So each school's got its own probably careers staff, or it's a teacher who's also the careers advisor, and that kind of thing. Is it still like that? It was in my day.
Absolutely, and it has actually strengthened in the last few years. So I would say the majority of schools in Suffolk, not all, have a trained careers advisor in school or working with them. And something that's also new in the last couple of years, they have a careers leader. So this is a person who's sort of leading the strategic view of the school in terms of careers, and that is statutory now. So things have tightened up a little bit.
Right.
Still lots of room for improvement, but that's the situation at the moment.
Well, I guess it's a changing and fluid situation, anyway, because it's led, I'm guessing, by the world of work. But what are the options there now for you know, so all these year 11s, and where do they go after GCSEs? And I think there's other stuff as well, isn't there, going on, like BTECs or something today, tomorrow?
Yeah, those results will be coming out today as well. So, I mean, the first thing to say is this came in a few years ago, and I think most people know about it, and certainly the young people leaving school, getting their results tomorrow will. They do have to stay in some form of education or training until they're 18. That doesn't mean school. It's really important to say it doesn't mean school. So it could be college. We've got some great FE colleges around the county in Suffolk, and ones on the border. So it could be an apprenticeship,
It
could be a traineeship. So, or it could be staying in a school sixth form, or going to a new different sixth form or sixth form college. So lots of different options there. And they could be doing some work, but we would like the work to be work with training rather than a job that doesn't have any training with it at all.
Right. Right. And are there more options? I mean, I can remember, I suppose, I've given the game away now, but... earlier, by saying I've got a granddaughter, but I can remember where there was a kind of thing that if you were doing certain qualifications, you know, that was the thing to do, and if not, it wasn't quite as good. And I remember the school I went to was absolutely superb, actually, because it made the point that it didn't matter in old speak whether you were doing A levels and going to university, or whether you were doing GCSEs and going out into the world of work, or whatever. Is there still a kind of stigma attached to some qualifications, or not?
I mean, people do still call A-levels the gold standard, but that is, you know, they're great for some people, but they don't work for everybody, and it's no point doing a qualification that you're miserable at. So thinking about some of the other qualifications that might suit you better is going to be better for that young person. So there are A-levels. There's also T-levels, which are quite new. They've only been going a couple of years, so we had our first T-level results last week.
Right.
So those have been developed with industry, There's a lot of theoretical work in the classroom, but 20% of that is work with an employer. So lots of different sectors there, and those qualifications will lead you to university if that's where you want to go next. Obviously, apprenticeships have been a huge increase and a huge drive to get more people doing apprenticeships now. So they're a really fantastic way to, if you don't want to stay in the classroom in any in any shape, to get into the world of work. You're still learning as well, so you're still doing some studying as well as that. But there's also, as you just mentioned, the BTECs, lots of vocational and applied qualifications. The government are trying to sort of trim down the number because, in a good way, there are so many. So there's something for everybody. And regardless of what GCSE grades or other qualifications you get, there will be something at the right level for you. So you may not be going straight on to a level three, which is an A-level or T-level equivalent. You might be going on to a level one course, and then next year a level two course, etc. So lots of options out there, which in some ways makes it great, and in other ways makes it quite difficult to choose because there is a lot of choice.
Yeah, well, that's the world today, I guess, isn't it? There's a lot of choice. Just to clarify, T stands for technical or
technical level.
Yeah. And apprenticeships. If anybody goes onto an apprenticeship, it can no longer be. I know there are lots of very good apprenticeships, and I think apprenticeships are probably about the oldest form of training and qualification. I don't know, but you know, you go back for centuries with apprenticeships, if I've got this right. But they're sometimes, some firms got a bad reputation because it was just a pair of hands, but nowadays they have to actually provide the teaching and college links and things, do they?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They have really tightened up on apprenticeships now, and the training providers who offer the apprenticeships are very strongly regulated, so they have to have an apprenticeship standard which sort of sets out what they need to achieve to get their apprenticeship, so, and that has to make sure that it meets the needs of the industry, so it's not a, you know, you can be just making the teas and coffees and sweeping up the hair in a hairdresser's. You've got to be learning about cutting and bleaching and perming and all those other things, which just come up in my head. So yeah, so absolutely, you know, They're for all ages now, so it's not just for young people, so anyone can do an apprenticeship.
You
can actually do more than one apprenticeship. So if you sort of, let's say, do a hairdressing one, and then you decide, actually, no, I'm really into IT or tech, you can actually go on and do another apprenticeship, and you will get paid while you learn.
Right. Okay. I didn't realize that. That's good news. Yeah. I very much suspect. We're going to, after the news, I guess, talk about the world of work and how people make choices and things like that. Just keeping to the exams for a moment, this is, I suppose, a big year in some ways because, it's always a big year if you're doing the exams. But correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first year over the last two or three because of the pandemic that kind of exams have got back to normal state?
Yes, they're pretty much near normal. There are some sort of slight tweaks, but because obviously some of these young people have missed out on learning. Either the schools have been closed, or you know they've been off with COVID, or the school's been closed for COVID. So over the last 2 years, they've had quite a disrupted 2 years of doing their GCSEs. So this has accounted for a lot more nervousness than in a. What is a normal year, but you know, in a normal year in years past. So yes, this is the first year it's almost back to normal.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. And we've got a couple of minutes before the news. So if we just start to talk about the world of work, I suppose one of the things that's always kind of struck me going through life, and you know, being myself somebody that needed careers advice and was looking for a career, and then 20, 30 years come along, and you've got your own kids if you've got them doing that kind of thing, and now I'm at the stage where I kind of see the grandchildren beginning to the older ones beginning to kind of get into that world, and it changes. When I was looking for a job, it really was a question of as long as you got some sort of qualification, it was pick and choose almost what you like. You know, there was a huge it was very much a kind of seller's market, so to speak. But it changes over the years. What is it like nowadays? How difficult is it going to be for these people who are, you know, going to go out into the world of work, whether it's this year or whether it's in 2 years' time or 5 years' time? What does it feel like nowadays?
Yeah, it's very tricky, actually.
Right.
In lots of ways. I mean, at the moment, we've got a lot of, and you've probably heard in the news, we have a lot of vacancies. All sorts of reasons. One is there's a lot of people over 50 that have left the labour market during COVID. We've obviously had Brexit. So we have got a lot of vacancies out there at the moment. But saying that, still, you know, employers are, it is competitive, and they want to get the best possible person in their organisation, because it takes a lot of time and money to actually recruit people. They do say that people will change their career 8 times in their lifetime now, or they'll change their job 37 times. We have all these figures bandied about. But the importance is of having transferable skills is really the key thing, because we don't know what the world of work is going to look like in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Maybe in 2 years' time. it used to be a bit more certainty, but now some of the jobs that are going to exist when, let's say, our year 11s, our GCSE people tomorrow, maybe when they graduate from university, if they go to university, some of those jobs have not even been invented. They haven't thought about them yet. So it's really difficult to sort of plan with certainty. So thinking of those transferable skills, so communication, teamwork, working with others, digital skills is really, really hot as well. Mm-hmm. So thinking about what those skills are is really important.
We are with Jackie Phipps, who's the careers lead at Suffolk County Council, talking to us, of course, on the eve of GCSE and equivalent exam results coming out tomorrow. Jackie, we were talking just before the news about, you know, young people having to make choices and navigate a world where we don't really know what work is going to look like. I for people of my generation, that just completely rang a bell that, you know, I went to various employers, because I kind of left school at 18 after A levels, and went to various employers, and I can remember, as far as I can remember, they all talked to me about, well, you know, you can come to us and within 5 years you could be this, and within 10 years you could be that, and within 20 years you could be that. There was no sense of anybody kind of having transportable skills. It must be very difficult. How do young people kind of, do you think, I know it's kind of like probably asking a slightly unfair question, but how do they look at the world of work in relation to the world of that they are becoming adults or about to become adults in? I'm thinking that we've had on the show in the past for several occasions people from the West Suffolk Assembly of Youth who have talked about their kind of priorities, and they talk about a safe planet and a safe environment to live in, worried about crime, and well-being and mental health really feature as big things. How do you think they kind of, do you think they're important things in their minds when they try and choose options and a potential job?
Absolutely, and it's good to hear that you had those young people in. We recently in Suffolk had a conference. It was our first in-person conference for 2.5 years for careers leaders. And the theme was about how can we talk to young people about having a career that meets exactly those wishes. So being sustainable, helping the planet, green careers, the green skills that are out there, and also how we can sort of help them get that work-life balance, between, working and progressing and working hard, but also having time for yourself and time for your caring responsibilities and things like that. So the Career Development Institute, which is our professional body, recently brought out a new sort of framework with 6 elements, and exactly what you've mentioned was in there.
Right,
that's
okay.
How we're trying to build the careers curriculum in school to help young people think about those things, and also think about the wider world and how that impacts on their career choices. Because obviously COVID was the biggest example, but now we've got Ukraine, the cost of living, it all has impact on what they choose to go into now or later in the future. So, we can't give answers, but we need to help them with that thinking and that critical thinking as early as we can. And one of the other main things is, apart from transferable skills, but is how to kind of research what's out there and to make sure that they're networking and they're going to talk to people who can help them.
Right. I mean, I guess that's again, that's a changing world, isn't it? In terms of accessing things, I was just thinking, you know, I don't want to keep looking back, but it's an interesting comparison. Sometimes thinking about, you know, where did I go for information about things? There were careers fairs. I think that those kind of things still exist today. There certainly wasn't the internet to look around in any kind of way. So I think that's right. I guess some of the kind of skills and orientations that the young people were going to find useful in kind of marketing themselves, if I use that phrase, in the world of work, they're different to what they were even a few years ago. I'm just thinking that, you know, it was only a few years ago that some people, maybe in schools or certainly in other organisations, who were very aware of kind of green ecology issues might have been regarded as a bit fringe and a bit weird. And nowadays it's kind of like absolutely essential.
Absolutely. And I'm just updating some resources that we're producing for young people in schools. And it's about different sectors in Suffolk that are important. And almost for everyone, you're thinking about those sectors, the key things on their mind for the sector is digital, how they're going to use technology even more than they do now, and how they can be sustainable. So those kind of things are linking very much in with what lots of young people are thinking about the world now. So we're trying to really highlight those into these resources.
Yeah, and I interrupted you, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, when you mentioned about, yes, looking on the internet, there's an array of things out there. So perhaps at the end I can sort of just tell you of a few key sites.
Yep.
They will have links to others rather than just putting into Google, you know, I want to be a hairdresser or whatever it is,
Yes.
And seeing what comes up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope young people are... I think probably, you know, when I want advice on searching, I'm searching for stuff on the internet, then maybe I think I'm okay about it. But, you know, most of the time it's phoning the boys. They're not boys now; they're in their 30s, or even the grandchildren are better at accessing technology than I am. But it's discovering those skills about what's the right thing to look at, isn't it, and what's useful and what's not. Not useful in a way. That just before we wrap things up and give you a chance to do exactly what you've asked about, you know, sharing some stuff there, just if we go back to the kind of well-being and mental health thing, do you think that the world of the actual, from the employer's point of view, is it something that a lot of employers are genuinely kind of grasping rather than paying lip service to it? And if so, how do young people kind of fish out the genuine companies and organisations that are the right ones to be thinking about going in that direction?
Oh, that's a big question, Adrian.
Sorry. Sorry, we didn't talk about that before the show, did we? Very unfair.
First of all, I can say, on behalf of working in public sector,
right,
they are very hot on that sort of thing. So all the moans that sometimes people have about working in the public sector, actually, it's a very supportive environment to work in.
Right.
So I can say that.
Right.
I think with the others, you've probably got a huge array of ones that are fantastic at supporting them and the others that couldn't care less. So I think it's a big, a huge spectrum, really, there.
Yeah. And
I think that's all I can say.
Well,
really, in that
no,
point.
That's fair enough. I mean, I guess it's ever been thus, and probably ever will be.
Yes.
So that's fair enough. Apologies for the broadside from another direction. There you go. So you're having a good conversation with somebody, and then other avenues open up. So it's good to ask sometimes. But thanks for that response. That's actually quite helpful. Just before we go, so I'm looking at the clock. It's about 2:45. So you were talking about where young people go to access the right kind of information. What are the sources they should be looking at?
Okay, so for information for websites, the first one I'll mention is called The Source, and it's The Source as in the source of information, not the Heinz variety.
O-U-R-C-E, right?
S-O-R-C-E, So it's Suffolk County Council's website for young people. There's information about options, but also there is also lots of information about mental health and health issues as well. So there's lots of stuff on that there. I Can Be A, which is a site, a Norfolk and Suffolk site, so that's got lots of employers on there, what they're looking for. There's got some job ads, apprenticeship ads on there as well.
I've seen that. Can you, how do you spell that? Because it's a funny word.
I can be a.
Oh,
word.
I right. I can be a.
I
right.
can be a doctor. I can be a hairdresser.
Ah, right. Yeah. Oh, I've got it now. Right.
So, I can be a. Yeah.
Yep.
And nationally, the National Career Service has got lots of national generic information. It's not the most exciting, whizzy site, but it's all on there. And for support, I mean, talk to people if the choices, if their results aren't what they thought, please go and ask for help. Their school should be the main source, their first source, or the college that they've, or the sixth form place that they've applied for should be their main source of information. Apprenticeship Suffolk can help if they're thinking about apprenticeships. All that information is on the source. And we do have young persons workers in Suffolk County Council, so if they are totally beflummoxed and they haven't got any idea of where to go and they haven't got a place, then we can support those people as well. And NCS, National Career Service, has a national generic phone number on their website as well. So, you know, talk to somebody and don't please make yourself too miserable on your own in your bedroom, because there will be options out there for you.
Clearly, there's lots of information available. Jackie, thanks very much indeed for coming along and sharing it. And I think our thoughts are entirely with all the young people that are waiting for results tomorrow. And thanks for coming along and sharing what you do with us. That's Jackie Phipps, who's the careers lead at Suffolk County Council.
Love West Suffolk. Love RWSFM 103.3.